culmination, final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is here, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. Sing it with me tonight. We are the generation. We're the culmination. I'm a voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord so near. Living out the revelation. Overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. Generation, we're the culmination, final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord so near, living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation.
Amen. We've got several prayer requests tonight. I'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to pray over these tonight. Brother Frank Williams, not feeling well, request prayer tonight. Also still remember Brother Randy Walton and family, the loss of his mother, so let's remember that family. Also pray for Brother Daniel Nunley recovering from total shoulder replacement. So that's a big procedure. Let's remember him. A lot of soreness and things. Let's remember Brother Daniel. Brother Keith Phillips said his aunt had hip replacement 2 weeks ago. Today it popped out. The surgeon will try to pop it back in. If not, surgery is required once again. Let's remember her. Also prayers for Keith as he attempts to work the next 2 days. So let's remember Keith. Lord, just give him strength and protect his immune system and those nasty places we work in. I appreciate Brother Keith Phillips. He's a wonderful brother. I'm praying for you every day. Ellie Parker had a minor procedure today, not feeling well. Let's remember her. Brother Reese says, remember me in the morning going down to Madisonville to see my grandson on his birthday. Pray for the Lord to give him traveling mercy. Brother Clinton Gibby, that we'd had prayer for, doing so much better, wants to thank everyone for your prayers. His son, Buddy Gibby, was admitted to the hospital, legs and feet really swollen. Let's remember him. Also pray for Katie Lorinda, who is sick, unable to be in church tonight. So if we could stand as Brother Terry comes, if he will just take these needs to the Lord for us tonight.
Thank you. I'm sure we can all say we are happy to be in church again. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I was just meditating there and praying. I'm so thankful, Lord, as we sing that little song, we are the generation, the culmination, the final voice, all the words in that little phrase is tremendous, tremendous, the sayings that's spoken of this end time bride. Lord God, I wish it be possible that we come to the church and if the prophet of God could maybe look over the banister sometime and see the church sitting in order or Laodicea in mass confusion, but we come into the church and people are quiet, reading their Bible and praying, the church all set in order. Oh God, what a privilege it is that we are able to be under the umbrella of a word message. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have granted it to us and we see these things. Lord, I don't have the words to say thank you. It's just not sufficient. But from our unlearned way, receive our thanksgiving, Lord. We're truly happy to be part of the end time bride, what you've done for us, the ministry that we sit under, the brothers around the world, the different ministers, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, everywhere around the world. We're just thankful for what you've done. Lord, as we come before you with these requests, Brother Frank, and each one that was mentioned, I pray, and Brother Keith Phillips, you know his condition, and we're just believing, and we know that all things are possible if we can just only believe. And there's faith in the building. We believe that somebody is going to pray that prayer of faith, and we believe somebody, because he's healed, he's already touched and delivered. And we believe that each one of these requests, Lord, that I have my hands on, they've been spoken, they've been read, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bring the desired result. As our pastor comes and brings the fresh manna, dear God, may we pull on the gift of God. And Lord, as David said one time, I was happy when they said to me, let us go into the Lord, into the house of the Lord. Lord, if it was back under that dispensation, what about now with the fresh manna and the opening of the seals and the word that's been given in this dispensation? Truly, we are blessed to be in the house of God, anointing Him to speak, anointing our ears to hear. And truly, when we leave, we can say, it has been good to be in your house and in your presence. Heal each one, touch and manifest your glory tonight. We're so thankful for what you've done recently, what you're doing tonight, and Lord, for the soon coming event of your return. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. I will be your house to dwell in. Flow through me. I will be that good Samaritan to someone else in need. Flow. Love through me, and love through me, Holy Spirit, love through me. I will be your house to dwell in, love. Raise your hands to Him. Sing this verse. Live through me, Holy Spirit. Live through me. I will be your house to dwell in. Live through me. And I will like to come tonight, lift the offering tonight. Let's sing this song together. Didn't I walk on the water? Praise the Lord. Well, as I kneeled in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord, 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low, it says, I moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. Help me sing it. Didn't I walk on the water? I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Won't I run to your rescue? Won't I hear you when you call? I'll stand right beside you, and I'll never let you fall. I'll leave all of heaven to die for your sin. I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Remember,
said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Take a look behind you, see how far you've come. And every time you ask me, haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through?
You said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Walked right beside you, just so they wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Take a look behind you, just look how far you've come. And every time you ask me, haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through?
He said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I screamed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I'll walk right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all. Amen. Be more. multiplied. Amen. Let's sing that Be Multiplied together. Sister Jessica Benton has a song for us. You want to go ahead and come? We'll just sing this chorus together as she's coming. That's the key of F. This is a pretty song if you think about these words. Let these hallelujahs be multiplied. Sometimes our words don't feel like enough. So Lord, we'll put them out there. You multiply them for us. Let our words be sufficient to worship you tonight. Oh God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. May this soul free stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Sing it to him tonight. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. One more time. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Spirits low, and it seems I can hardly go, still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, still I see victory. I've just got to tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. And you may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems like we're fighting a lot. Oh, I remember I'm standing on that rock. So, Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, because I do believe you're gonna lose. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stand and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You must remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Thank you. Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand together as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Brings us the word tonight. Are you so glad he found you? Man, let's sing that together. I'm so glad he found me. Would you sing that first verse for us, Brother Henry?
I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting, and child, I will lead you out where you can see.
Missing you all. Carol told me before church, she said, I guarantee you there won't be nobody at church tonight any more happy to be at church than me and you. Amen. traveling around preaching to the saints, seeing different saints and different churches, but you know it is. There's no place like home. Wherever you hang your hat, that is if you wear a hat, wherever's home, no matter how humble and whatever more, you go visit fine places and wow, you got a nice place. Wow, this is nice. But you go to your home and you just feel so at home in your home. I'm glad we have a home church to be able to go to. Let's head up the sea tonight. What do you say?
Amen.
We need to get this ship to the boot of Italy. We need to head to Puteoli. We need a south wind to be able to blow us in the right direction. Because we're on a commission from God, and that is go to Rome.
Amen.
Acts chapter 28, verse 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Now, this is still a city on the tip of Sicily. This journey can be well documented for those who don't believe the scripture is authentic. This journey can be traced from stop to stop, point to point. Syracuse is still a modern day city in the city of Sicily. As a matter of fact, I saw pictures of it last night. Landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass, and we came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And that's all he says about it. I mean, Rome was the capital city of the civilized world for almost 1,000 years. He mentions no statues. He mentions no fountains. He just said, we're going to Rome. No big deal. Just like we'd say, we're going up to Stony Creek, we're going over to Bristol to eat, or, you know, down Elizabeth or somewhere like that. He said, we're going to Rome. Why? He's not going as a tourist. They're going as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. May I tell you tonight, we are only passing through this life as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Let's pray together, shall we? How many like to be remembered before the Lord? Just raise your hand to God. Hold your request in your heart. Heavenly Father, we love you so much tonight. Thank you, dear God, for your presence that we've sensed is already here with us. Oh, how you must love it when your children are gathered together. No doubt, Father, many of them have worked today and they've been busy, and some of them had to hurry home after work, and maybe they had to eat a very fast supper to be able to get to church. And really, in their body, they'd have felt better physically if they'd stayed at home. But yet, they felt like they needed to come to the house of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight. Father, may you bless their sacrifice. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come by this way. Even though it's Wednesday night, you're not just a God of Sunday morning. You're not just a God of Saturday, but you want to be our God every day out of the week. So I believe that you are anxious for this service tonight. I believe you're desirous to speak to us, to minister to our needs, not only to this visible audience, but Lord, all over the world, there will be people that will stream this service and those that will archive it. Lord, in Africa, in Cyprus, in Italy, Lord, even in Rome, people streaming. Lord, wherever they are, may the presence of God go and minister to them tonight. We love you, Lord. We're not ashamed to say that we have many needs, and we bring those needs before you tonight, and we want to cast our cares on you, and we want to leave them on you and walk away. feeling that you love us and you care for us. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father, for it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen. And the saints say,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. So it's the month of February. The winds are still unstable. The winter solstice has not yet moved totally out of this Mediterranean region. They're coming up on this portion of the sea, and they need the winds to be able to blow in a certain direction. The south wind, for the most part, is a favorable wind, especially when you're wanting to head north. They definitely need the south wind. And able to come to what is known at this time as the region of Naples, before it was basically taken over by Rome and to become all completely, entirely part of the Roman Empire. So they need to head in this certain way because God is leading his servant, and strange how God is going to propel the gospel to be able to come on a heathen ship under the dominion of a heathen emperor, under the names of idolatry in this ship by which this man is going to be transported. Yet under all of this negativism, God will have a great man of God, one of the greatest that ever stepped foot on this earth, to land his foot on the place of Italy and claim it for the elect of God. Will all of Italy be conquered? God ain't interested in conquering all of it. He's interested in conquering his seed. The ships during this time of the winter would make the coastal runs. This is the term that Luke used. So they would look and focus on being able to go from one point from the coast to another, go far enough out where they'd be able to catch the favorable wind, setting them in the direction that they needed to go. So they wasn't interested really in making long journeys. Now listen carefully now. Luke wrote this, I believe, under the direction of the Holy Ghost. So knowing that most of us wouldn't really care, you know, about the Aegean or the Mediterranean or the Baltic or nothing like that, but there is a spiritual symbolism here in the journey of a child of God in this map. Now tonight, I could have had the brothers to be able to draw the map and put it up here in the atlas so you'd be able to see it, and it might have helped you in your understanding of a little bit better, but just get it in your mind. Now they're coming off of this coast of Malta, and they need to go north toward the boot of Italy as it comes down and kicks about. But yet the southwestern part is still part of Naples. So they're going and they need the southern wind to come, and the southern wind is going to come and blow them northward. Now this is not so much a geography lesson tonight as much as it is a spiritual geography lesson. So in this time of their journey, they're not going to make great big strides. What they're going to look for is a day-to-day journey, and they're going to be able to move from one city to the next. Now, the wind is going to be favorable. Part of the stage of the journey, they'll make an 80-mile trek in one day. In another stage of the journey, about 120 miles, they'll be able to make it the next day. But they're not going very far, but it is far enough to lead them in the three-stage journey that God has ordained for this to be. Now, in this stage of the journey, it is so different from where that they left the fair havens and they were shipwrecked on the island of Malta. From there, it was a terrible, terrible storm, we remember, called Euroclydon. It was devastating, brought them to a shipwreck. But now God has actually changed the winds of their journey. Boy, am I glad when them times come. As Christians, every one of us know that we go through those storms in our life and they become so difficult. How many understand what I'm talking about? You go through one devastating thing after another, one difficult thing after another, and then God sets your stage and he sets the sails of your journey, and it may not seem as if so that you're making far treks in this sea of life. You're only going from one little port city, as it were, to another, and you're not making great strides, but yet God is actually letting you sail in this stage of your journey, and he's giving you the peaceful times that you need in order to refresh your spirit, refresh your mind, refresh your being, because he knows that we need refreshing.
Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me and they help me. As children of God, we need these times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Now notice, as Luke writes this in verse 13, he says, and from thence we fetched a compass and we came to Regia. Now, I mentioned this to you, I think last time I dealt with this, that this was a phrase which is not used in the modern day. It's somewhat obsolete. It basically was a term saying that they would go from one place to another. So they're not getting very far out from the shore, which would, of course, overwhelm a lot of message people, because the way they look at it, you've got to constantly have something new all the time, and you got to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's why a lot of them's off in the deep end tonight. That's why they preach what they preach, and they're preaching a lot of absolute nonsense, because they think every time you've got to come to church, you've got to have something so far out that the angels don't even understand it. I don't want nothing like that myself. I want something that I can go right back to the Word and put my finger on. I don't want something that's beyond what the prophet of God brought us. I don't want something beyond what the Bible has taught us. Come on now. I don't want something to where we're the only church in the message that's preaching it. Come on, saints. I don't want to be the only preacher in the message that's preaching this fang-dangle something and everybody has to come to us. That is the spirit of Antichrist. This is a body move. It's not just one man no more. It's not one preacher in Trinidad or one preacher in Happy Valley or one preacher in Tennessee or wherever he's at. It is a body move. And any move that pulls away from that is Antichrist. Amen, Brother Donnie. So we believe that God has a body move around the world. And certainly every church will be different, because according to their spiritual needs, God will have the ministry to minister to them according to the phase of where they are. But the overall setting shows us in the journey of life that there will be great deep times that will go through tremendous things. It'll be one great revelation after another. And God opening the book and revealing himself. And there will be stages of our journey that we are absorbing what we've been hearing, and we may not go that far from the shore, and we may not make that much distance from one day or from one service to the next. But if God has ordained that for us where we are, let us sail calmly and enjoy where we are, because the other stage will come soon enough. That's right. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm rugged. I want trials every day. Well, I'll tell you one thing, I don't. I like a little bit of south wind every now and then. I like a little bit of peace and quiet. I like to be able to lay back on the sea of life and be able to sit there a little bit. Praise the Lord. Maybe I'm crazy. I like it whenever, Brother Terry, I can be able to go through just pleasant, enjoyable time. I have enough hard time the way it is. Don't you? I have enough difficult times in life, and if God wants to send me times like this, I'm going to take every day I can get. That's right. Now, notice the way that they are going. It is directly now under the direction of where God wants them to go. So they come to Regium, which was a city. I wrote this down so I'd be able to share it with you. A city in Italy, which belonged then to the kingdom of Naples. Now, it was on the coast near the southwest, and it was nearly opposite to Messina, which is in Sicily. So it's located on the very tip of the boot of Italy, about 70 miles from Syracuse. So they head out from Syracuse, and they sail about 70 miles. Now, this is not a long journey, but it is a day's worth according to the amount of wind. Now, don't you notice how this works? That according to how intense the wind is, how many knots if the wind is blowing, that's how fast that your journey will be made from one place to the other. Now, on certain days, you'll go, say, 70 miles. On other days, the wind is blowing harder, yet smooth, and you'll be able to make 120 miles that day. Well, then there might be another day when the wind is not blowing very much at all, but you are making progress, but you may not go but 40 or 50 nautical miles, but you are still moving. Now, what is this written for? To show us in the journey of life as children of God, there will be times the wind will be blowing against your back. It will be so strong, yet pleasant, but it will be so strong you'll see such strides in your life. My, I'm growing, I'm growing. I can see such things going on in my life, and there'll be other times in your life that You may go weeks or even months, and it don't seem like you're growing as much. You're coming to the house of God, and you love the Lord, and you're singing, and you're worshiping. Anybody ever been there? But yet it doesn't seem like you're going. But you know that you're not what you was. You know you're not what you want to be, but God is progressing you. You know what? If that's the stage of your journey, be happy you're going in the right direction. Because you could be going the other way, fighting the wind. At least the Holy Ghost breeze of God is blowing you in the direction that you need to go. Even it's the same way, the divine healing, victories in our life of certain things. Whenever we ask God for certain things, and God will come and move. Maybe you're prayed for something, and God will move. Oh my, just like that, God moves. And then you'll go through stages where it seems like nothing's happened. And you might regress a little bit. Oh, I've lost my healing. Don't you accept that lie. You can still keep your eyes right on Petuli. You're going. And there may be times that you'll progress faster, and there may be times that you'll go slower. But you're in the right direction in the will of God. Now, they're going to reach this place in the Straits of Regia, and it was, again, a favorable wind. So now, as they move from there, and they're going from day to day. Now, what they're doing is coming in off the coast, not very far out. So they come into the coast, and they'll move from city to city, from Syracuse to Regia, and then they're going to Petuli, which is going to be the last major seaport. Now, as they do this, they must come in at night. And so they're docking, and they're coming in there, they're eating, they're resting some. Very pleasant, very nice, enjoyable time. God has now changed the stage of the journey. Remember, it was the south wind that first blew whenever these sailors first thought they was doing the right thing by leaving the fair havens. Look how the will of God and Satan will try to match that very same thing. It was the south wind that convinced them they were right in the first place. But now it's the south wind. But what's the difference? They're now on the direction of a prophet of God. The other time when they listened to the south wind, they were under the direction of a sea captain and sailors and a Roman centurion, but this time they're in the will of God. Oh my, because a prophet of God is now the one that God has used to be able to save all these people. Is that right? Notice the very same wind, the south wind. Notice how the will of God can be so close, and Satan will try to impersonate the will of God and make you think this and this and this is the will of God. And he'll talk you out of the will of God by showing you something that seems like it's the will of God, which makes it so confusing. Because you're praying, God, I want your will. God, please help me with your will. And Satan will put something right up there. What was it? The south wind. Now what's getting them to Rome? The south wind. Amen. That's why we pray. Look, friend, when you're going to make a decision, wait and pray and wait and pray and proceed it in a neutral attitude with your mind not made up. Lord, if I'm fixing to make a mistake, you stop me. I want your will more than anything in this world. Well, I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody tonight. When you're praying, don't go, bless God, I know this is the will of God. If you know that it is, go right ahead. But if you're uncertain, pray in neutral, approach it in neutral. That way God can turn you back at any time. So if the south wind blows, when Satan is manipulating that south wind, trying to blow you out of the will of God, I believe the Spirit of God is faithful to stop us. Whether it's a business decision, a school you're going to, a house you're fixing to buy, you're going to get a new job, whatever it is, let the Spirit of God, by the direction of the south wind, blow you into his direction, not under the leadership of your boss or the leadership of this person, that person that Satan's trying to use to force you out of the will of God. Well, my, I don't know who in the world that was for, but it's done gone. Now, as they go to Petuli, the final stop of this, I wrote this down so I'd be able to share this with you. The final stop of the three stages of this journey was in Petuli. It was 180 miles from Regia, 125 miles from Rome. So at Petuli now, they're going to land and they're going to get off of this. The modern day city now is Pozzuoli. It lies in the sheltered recess forming the northern bay in the Bay of Naples. So now here they come, and Petuli was at this time, it was absolutely the greatest, largest port in Italy. Constantly the ships from Alexandria, Egypt, which are bearing corn and wheat and barley and rye and all that, it was coming right in this direction. So it was a common seaport city, and you know what? My, they brought all kinds of food, they brought all kinds of wine, they brought all kinds of things from Egypt. And now God's bringing another storehouse. God's bringing another man. He ain't got corn. He ain't got barley. He's got a little wine. Stimulation by revelation. Amen. Here come, no doubt, many great people, great famous people, important people, had landed in this place of Puteoli because it was the main seaport in the southern part of Italy. From here, they must walk about 125 miles. And you imagine how many great people landed here. How many great, great important generals and leaders and ambassadors and so on. But now, amen, off of this boat steps one of the greatest men that ever lived on this earth. Praise God. There wasn't a great band there to welcome him. There was not a great people that had banners flying, "Welcome St. Paul, great man of God." Most of the people probably didn't know him. They looked at him and changed and probably looked down their nose at him. Had a little respect and honor for any prisoner. So you can imagine here he lands, but he knew in his heart he was there by the will of God. Amen. Now this stops the stage of the uneventful journey as they're now coming on the three final stages of the journey by sea. Oh, thank God for those times. I know the seas of life aren't always smooth. But you know why? I'm convinced, friends, that many times the seas in our life are much more tumultuous than what they need to be simply because we don't listen to the exhortation from the Word of God of men of God that are led of the Holy Ghost to give us things that we need. And we go into decisions in our life without really praying and following the leading of the Lord. And we make life so much rougher on ourselves. And the church said, and we can avoid a lot of that. Just listen to the Word. If you believe God is using men of God to speak the Word, then listen when you're being preached to. Listen to answers for things you're inquiring of the Lord. And Lord, make me sensitive. Help me, Lord, that I can follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. What God's wanting to do, he's wanting to spare you a big rockadon. He's wanting to spare you a hurricane or a typhoon or a tornado or whatever more that's fixing to come your way. Oh my. Now notice this also in verse 14. Where we found brethren. So now they land in Puteoli. And guess what they found? It wasn't an arcade. It wasn't a place to make money. It wasn't a brothel. Some preachers, that's what they look for, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't know one of the message preachers just a few years ago. That's what he done after he preached in a certain place in a certain country. And he told the taxi cab driver to take him to a place where he could get a prostitute. Dumb. Ignorant. A man without the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Come on, don't get quiet. And you think the devil didn't trick the man? Come to find out, the taxi cab taker driver taking him to a woman that was a prostitute just happened to be a backslidden message person. Make sure your sins will find you out. Live a life that's above reproach, friends. Right. Go where God would go. Stay where God would stay. Act the way God would act. Come on, Happy Valley. Now, notice this. So when Paul goes into this place, what are they looking for? They're not looking for a place to make money. They're not looking for a place to be able to trade and buy and sell. But what do they found? Notice how Luke says this. Where we found brethren. We found. Now, you know, in order to use this word, it's something that you've got to seek out. It's something that you've got to seek out. Why would they seek brethren? Why wouldn't they look for gold or silver or some kind of arcade or some type of place to have pleasure? Because their greatest pleasure would have been being able to find brethren. My, they had been rubbing shoulders with these heathens. They'd been rubbing shoulders with many of these people that did not love the Word of God. And they had somehow heard or whatever more that there was some brethren in Puteoli. And they wanted to see them brethren so bad that they went into search mode. They wasn't searching Google. They wasn't searching Yahoo. They were searching for brethren. Oh my. Now, by this time, many people had been converted to Christianity in Italy. Paul had no doubt heard about it. He had already been writing, of course, to the church in Rome. The book of Romans was written at this time historically. By the time that Luke is actually writing this, the book of Romans had already been there. Book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So several books of the New Testament had already been there. But Paul is not sure himself now how actually the people are going to receive him. He don't know what the Jews have done. He don't know what the people have heard, because people love telling stuff on preachers. And you can imagine now, here comes this preacher, the prophet of the age, and the first time you see him, he's in chains. Would you all had a problem with that? So here you go on the Appian Way. And the first time you see your prophet messenger for the age, he's in chains, and chained to a Roman soldier, which will not even let him go to the bathroom by himself. He's not allowed to sleep by himself. When he ate, the Roman soldier was by him. When he went to the bathroom, he was by him. Wherever he went, he was by him, chained to him. I'm not sure which I feel the most sorry for. Paul being chained to him, or him chained to Paul. I don't see how in the world that guy kept from getting the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. Notice how Luke says this. When they come to Puteoli, nothing about the tourist attraction, nothing about the seaport, nothing about the ships, nothing about the gold. What stuck out the most to Luke? Brothers. Brothers, I honestly don't think we appreciate one another like we ought to. Not just in our church either. I'm talking about our brothers and sisters around the world. Look what this commodity, what this gem was to these people. Where we found brethren, that is Christians. We found brethren. Now these are not just Jews looking for Jews. So before they can have fellowship with believers, they have to have a desire, Brother Jack, to have fellowship with believers. If they were of the mentality that many folks are today, well, I'm a Christian and I love God, but I really don't see the need of going to church. I don't see the need of fellowshipping with people. I just don't see it. I'm always a loner. I really don't. You need to reread your Bible. There is a great need. There is a great healing. There is a great help. There is a great spiritual health being with the people of God. But you must have the desire and see the need for that fellowship. Now, here is a man of God, Paul, that none of the people he's fixing to meet will ever rise to the place that he would rise to spiritually. They'd never be able to understand what he would understand. He could talk to them about visions and translations and angels, and they would sit there spellbound. They would sit there thinking, oh my goodness, what an honor. Some of these people walked over 100 miles. Walked over 100 miles to meet this man on the Appian Way, and people live 5 miles down the road and won't come to church in an automobile. Friends, the world does not encourage us to live right, to be separate. Fellowshipping with the world makes us cold, indifferent. How many worldly friends do you have that encourage you to pray in tongues? How many worldly friends do you have that encourages you in the direction of holiness or purity or living right or talking right or going to church or listening to tapes or whatever more? You have any of those friends like that? Most of them know you're not, because they don't encourage you that way. They say, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with this. There ain't nothing wrong with that. What are they trying to do? Fellowship with you. But they want you in their ship. That's what fellowship is. Now, live like the world, live among the world. And I realize we live in a great situation to where that we are among them. We live among them as far as that, but we don't have to partake of what they do. Now, the layover in Puteoli, I believe, was divinely ordained of God. It's not even explained in Scripture why that they laid over. But it could have been similar to maybe down in Memphis. In a modern day layover when an airplane was forced to land. Now, the believers, now once you imagine that they've heard of Paul. Can you imagine if Brother Branham, if he was alive, and we heard that Brother Branham was going to be at the Tri-Cities Airport and he had a layover? Well, I don't want to brag, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe I've got enough faith to cry on that plane for several days. I got a lot of things I'd like to ask him. Praise the Lord, don't you? Man, life would ground the whole airport, wouldn't it? You've got a need, you've got one, you've got one, you've got one. There'd be people coming from Virginia, North Carolina, we'd hold that baby on the ground. We wouldn't have to go nowhere. Come on now. Why? Because of the respect and the honor. You imagine those saints of God said, oh Lord Jesus, please let him stay with us a while. Please. Let him stay. Let him stay. Oh, glory to God. You imagine the Lord saying, how long? What about 7 days? Give us a week with him. Glory to God. Well, there's several things here that's got to happen. First, you got to move on this centurion's heart. That ain't no problem. He's a heathen. That ain't no problem. Infidel, don't even believe in God, but there's something about this man he knows different than anybody he's ever seen. He stood before the emperors, he stood before Augustus, he stood before generals, he stood before all kinds of men, but you can tell over and over and over again, this man has favored Paul and done things for Paul that even probably scratched his head thinking, what am I doing? Why am I doing this man? What am I giving him this time and this time? I'll tell you why, because some saints of God needed to spend some time with the prophet of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost move on that heathen's heart. Look, children, if he can move on a heathen, can he move on us? Surely we ain't as bad as a heathen.
I don't know, as hard-headed as some of us are, we might be.
You know, the scripture does record several centurions being saved. It never mentions Lysias, but you got to wonder about the old boy when he walks before God that day, where he's going to come up. Praise be to God. So Lysias grants permission. Fine. Take 7 days with your brothers. So here goes this old boy that's chained to him. Him looking at Lysias thinking, 7 days of Holy Ghost camp meeting? Teachings, hours and hours of preaching? Them talking in tongues and running around and jumping and Paul casting out devils and talking about predestination, election. What have you just done to me? You see, there's one difference between this soldier and demons. Demons have got the ability to leave. This old guy's chained up to him. He can't go nowhere. Paul goes to shout and he has to raise his hands whether he wants to or not. May I say to you, oh, if you could only understand it, you're Paul. Your soul is chained to your Lysias. Amen. Don't you let your Lysias, amen, hold back your Paul from praising God. If you want to praise God and worship God, force Lysias to raise his hand. Amen. Force Lysias to raise his hand too. If you want to clap your hands, say, excuse me there, Roman soldier. I need my other hand to praise God.
You know, that must have seemed so odd to them. Now, being Romans, they had all kinds of gods. They prayed to their ancestors. They prayed to all of these different gods of war and gods of the sea and gods of the wind. And, you know, no day they had, certainly had particular feast days and things, but nothing on a regular basis. Lysias must have noticed something about Paul that he kept wanting to be in church on a certain day. Acts chapter 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi to the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days, this under the permission of Lysias. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Notice now, it was the custom of New Testament Christians to come together in one place. Amen. Acts chapter 21, verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now notice this again. Time after time after time, Lysias grants them this church time. Time to go to the house of God. Now, unlike the Old Testament, where they would come up at the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Purim, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the New Testament Christians started going to church weekly. Wow! How weird! How strange! I don't know about you, I am still the continuation of the book of Acts. I'm not an Old Testament believer where I go to church just at the Feast of Tabernacles and Feast of the Atonement and the Feast of Purim. I go weekly and many times weekly. As a matter of fact, I don't feel right when I don't get to go to church. Come on now, saints. You know what? There was something about it that with the coming of the Holy Ghost, it burned an impression upon their soul that they not only wanted to come to church to hear the word, they wanted to come and sing, they wanted to come and rejoice and pray and be with one another. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brought them into a mystical union that the Old Testament lamb could never do for them. So they wanted to start coming together more frequently. Then Paul says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that much more as you see the day approaching. So people who go to church less than they used to have backslid. Because Paul said the closer the day gets, you ought to be going more. Well, that is the scripture, isn't it? Notice now, again, Acts 28:14. Where we found brethren and were desired. Desired. Then say, well, it's okay if it works out. If it don't, that's fine too. It ain't no big problem. They burned a passion. It burned in them to spend time with these brethren. And he wanted again 7 days. Boy, this guy was a seven guy, wasn't he? 7 days here, 7 days there, seven church ages, seven thunders, seven seals, just 777. And we were desired to tarry with him 7 days. I wonder who got elected to ask Lysias this. You imagine, here come Paul again. He had that want something look on his face. What do you want now? Could you grant me another 7 days? We'd like to have a jubilee. I'm going to preach on the Feast of the Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles. I'd like to do the atonement. I'd like to do predestination, redemption, election, justification, sanctification by the blood, baptism, the Holy Ghost. I need to touch on holiness a little bit. There's so much I need to cover. I need at least 7 days to be able to span from the creation down to eternity again and roll it back around with the future home. I can't do it in a day. I can't do it in three. Would you grant me 7 days? Go ahead. We found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And then Luke says this little small thing here. And so we went toward Rome. The capital of the world. But that wasn't their focus. Brethren was their focus. Saints, fellowship, word. I don't feel so weird when I read this. I know people think I'm a religious nut. I just have church on my mind, God on my mind, word on my mind. You saw our little kids whenever Brother Michael interviewed him. What do you think Brother Donnie does for fun? Pray, preach, read his Bible. I thought, well, that's quite complimentary. I appreciate that. You realize we're considered absolute nuts. Why do y'all need to go to church more than once a week? There's just something about it. Do you eat more than once a week? You can tell by looking at most of us, we eat more than once a day. Why do you do it? Because we love to eat. And when you find something you enjoy eating, you eat it over and over. Some of you have been eating beans and maters and taters for 60 years. Some of you have been eating it for 70. If you live another 70 years, you'll eat it 70 more years. Why? You like it. If you ever really get born of the Spirit of God, there'll be something inside of you. You can't wait to get to the house of God. Oh, but the temperature, oh, it's always too cool for me. It's too warm. Well, it may be that, but I believe the Holy Ghost can press us into a realm. I can't wait to see the saints of God. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to sing. I can't wait to worship. I can't wait to say amen to the word. Praise God. 7 days ends. They have communion. They break the bread and the wine. Paul covers everything that God would allow him to cover after the 7 days. They start toward Rome. No doubt these men were like us. There was stages in their journey they were uncertain about. He believes that God's ordained him to go there. But did he know exactly every twist and turn of the journey? I can't believe that he did. It would have been unlike our journey, Brother Terry. But he believes he's in God's way. God's way to land him on the boot of Italy. In the heathen ship. With a heathen name. With a heathen attached to his wrist. But this is God's way of bringing the gospel. He didn't roll him in a Cadillac, have a whole big bunch of message people waving bands and banners. Oh, here comes the great man of God. And my, they didn't fall before him and idolize him the way people do today. Come on, Brother Donnie, preach. But it was God's way. Why? I can't say that I understand this myself. What an introduction for one of the greatest men that ever lived on the earth to be introduced as a prisoner. To be introduced with such a reproach on his reputation. His honor tarnished before the people ever even meet him. All types of rumors and things that would have went before him. And you think, could not God have kept him from it? Certainly could have if he'd have wanted it. But it just seemed as if though God allowed it to be that way. Oh my, no doubt many of them, when they heard of the messenger and the messenger there, they said, well, where is this guy? Well, he's chained up over here. Well, what do you mean chained up? Well, he's accused of being a solicitor. He's accused of being a writer. He's accused of being this and this and this and this and this. And you're following a man like that? You mean to tell me that you are following a man that would be brought here under Roman guards and would be chained to Roman? He must be a dangerous man. They tell me they never let him out of their sight. And that's your messenger? Would you all had a problem with that? Praise the Lord. Oh my, in the modern day that we live in, folks have got to have it their way, don't they? They want a preacher with curly hair, and my, he's got to have degrees from here and there and the other, and speak his words full pine and fine and proper, and my goodness, you can't be gruff and rough and tough and all that sort of thing. My, you've been hurting with Peter. You've been hurting with Luke, and you sure have been hurting with Paul. Now he's coming, God's care. Notice this, he said, well, we found brethren and desired to tarry with him 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. No description of the city. No description of the fountains of the three coins. No description of the great city and the streets and all the things that people, Rome was a great tourist attraction. The Appian Way, which is still there to this day. The Appian Way, which is one of the first paved streets known to civilization nations. Not just a street, but a road. A road that was paved with cut stones. Brother Ross Shrewsbury went right up that road in World War II. And it's still there to this very day. My, some of the greatest civilization of the arts and culture and everything that was going on. The Queen of the Earth, it was called. And yet here comes a man of God. Hallelujah. Hated, rejected, despised. But from Rome, God will finish the last phase of his journey. Amen. Rome being the metropolis of Italy, the seat of the Roman Empire. built 750 years before Christ. Was the city of the earth that dominated over the whole earth for almost 1,000 years. And Luke mentions not one tourist attraction. He doesn't mention how great, how beautiful. Praise God. Think of it. Oh my. Notice in verse 15. And from thence. What's the matter with this guy? All he talks about is brothers. He's got brothers on the brain. No, brothers in the heart, actually, I think it was. And from thence, from where? Rome. So the outstanding thing to Luke about Rome was there were some brothers that come out of it. Oh, our modern Laodicea, my, they marvel at the towers they're able to produce. And they look in Singapore, and I've personally been in Hong Kong and seen many of the great marvels of architecture and things of the world. And you marvel at some of the things that man can make and think, how does it do it? How does it do this and that and the other? And you look at it and think, wow, it must be really something. But yet really, is that the great thing? That's not the way God looks at it, because one day every bit of it will be in the ocean or annihilated by atomic bombs. But what will be the great thing that will come out of Laodicea? I mean Rome. Brothers. Brothers and sisters. So Luke says, what come out of Rome? Believers. Oh my. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. And the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, look what it does to a preacher when people come to hear him preach. He thanked God and took courage. So then what do you figure it does to a preacher when people don't come? You figure he thanks God and takes courage? Praise the Lord. Now, when they arrive then on the mainland, amen, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have iPhones, Androids. But no doubt there must have been a Holy Ghost believer around there somewhere. It's Paul. He's here. Can you imagine? Somebody had to take off and run or walk this journey all the way to Rome and let these people know the prophet is coming. The prophet is coming. Would we be that excited? Anybody here tonight, don't raise your hand now, but anybody here tonight be willing to run 125 miles? Any of us be willing to drive our cars 125 miles? Praise the Lord. Come on now, saints. Now look, we're not talking about them going over to the top city up there and going over to Rome and walking there in the airport at Rome, which I've been there, and walking there and saying, I'd like a ticket. I need to go from, since I'm down here, I'd like to fly up to Rome. Okay, it's just about an hour or so. It's no problem. So I'd like to fly up there. I'd like to let the brethren know, and then I'm going to get back in the terminal. I'm going to come back and just fly back. So I won't be gone 2 hours. I'll be able to do it. But somebody had to take off walking or running or maybe both. And letting the people know, they were so concerned, they wanted to know the messenger had arrived. The messenger had arrived. He is here. So they take off running and then walking. And then they stop and get them something to drink. Maybe grab them a little bite to eat. And while they're running, nobody paid them to do it. They're not hired to do it. They just had a burden in their heart for the rest of their brothers. They wanted the brothers to know, oh, hallelujah, I found a good place to eat. No, it wasn't that. Oh, man, McDonald's has got a new burger. Hey, have you heard? Macy's has got a new dress. Oh, my, the mall is opening a brand new store. You can't wait to get on the phone and share that with a sister. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But do we share the things that really matter as much as we do some of those things which amount to nothing? Well, praise the Lord. How long has it been since some of y'all used Facebook and for some benefit instead of some garbage pile? You imagine now they arrive off this sea voyage and they're exhausted in that sense, but God has given them a little rest. And whenever they get there, word begins to go, here's the prophet of God. He's arrived. He's on the mainland. But Brother Terry, I wonder in his mind, thinking, what will they do? How will they treat me? I've never met these brothers. I've never met these sisters. I know of some of their problems and some of their issues. Will they even want me to come? Will they even like me at all? Maybe I might have killed some of their family back in Jerusalem. I don't know what I'm going to run into when I land on the shores of Italy. And when they land, here they come. Imagine, Brother Wayne, they're coming over the hills, coming out of the bushes. Some of them coming on ox carts. The rich ones maybe riding on donkeys. The poor ones walking. Maybe just all famished. Maybe some of them coming on club feet, walking on old pieces of sticks and trees. And here they come. There must have been so many of them that when Paul seen them, it just so done something to his heart, Brother West, that it moved Paul, that he said, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, the church is growing. I don't believe that Paul attended. Oh, praise God, there's another $10, there's another $50. How much tithes do you pay? How much tithes do you pay? I don't think he said, well, there's another one now that's tapped into our website. Let's see now, how many hits will he get? How many? He was so grateful to God. This church don't belong to Donnie Reagan. This church don't belong to Tim Pruitt. This bride of Jesus Christ does not belong to the preachers that's out here preaching the message. The bride belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We call this Donnie Reagan's church and Tim Pruitt's church and all the brothers, but in reality, it's not my church. It's his church. It's not, oh, praise God, let's get everybody we can get to Happy Valley. No, let's get them to Christ. Then if God sends them here, so be it.
Oh, my.
So here they come. They get the poor and the rich and the indifferent and the crippled, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Oh, Brother Paul, God bless you. Brother Paul, God bless you. I read that letter. I read that letter that you sent to us. I'm wore out. I've been running for days to get Brother Paul. I just wanted to meet you. I just wanted to shake your hand. God bless you, brother. I never thought I'd ever have the opportunity. I come from the Epi I Forum, and somebody else came from 30 miles on down. They said, I come from the Three Taverns, but I had to come. I had to come. I've been in my journey now for several days. I ran part of the way and I slept under a tree last night. But you know what? I didn't care. I didn't care. I wanted to see you, great man of God. I've got a need in my body. Lord, children, what kind of service would we have here tonight? If we would come as one-tenth of that anticipation and expecting the Lord to move among us. Oh, my. Not because you've come to see Donnie Reagan or some other preacher, but you've come to see Jesus Christ, the Word. We've not come to see and hear a man. We've not come to be entertained with some fancy song and some pretty music, but we have come to hear the Lord Jesus manifest himself and witness to us his word and his resurrection.
Oh, my. Oh, amen. It wasn't just an encouraging time for Paul, but you imagine some of them believers, they never even met one another. But here they're all, they're gathered around one person. Lord, children, you can get mad at me, do whatever you want. But I can't wait for that morning when the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise and we'll all gather together. Praise be to God. We're going to gather under the prophet messenger of our age. It won't be some preacher that come out from under him that'll present us to Christ. It'll be our messenger. Amen. As it was those from the Appii Forum and those from the Three Taverns and those from Sicily and those from Malta, as they will gather under their prophet messenger of their day, as it will be in the days of Luther, in the days of Wesley and those others, they'll gather under their prophet messenger, and each of those church age messengers will present that age as an age entirely to Christ. Then each group and its pastor will come up, each area, oh my, when we're all presented to Christ. Hallelujah.
but it will come under the auspices of those seven stars in the right hand of Jesus. Then it makes no sense to me that God would send these men and give them a message and then send preachers to say, well, we don't need their message no more. We need their message right up to the rapture. I'll tell you when you won't need this message anymore after you're changed. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my. You imagine as Paul began to meet him. My name is Tychicus. I'm Tacticus. I'm this, that, and the other. I'm Luke. And there was Jewish names and Gaelic names and Greek names and all different kinds of believers. And maybe their skin was a little different color and their garments was a little bit different because the gospel had now reached across all type of cultural lines. And they're coming together and they're seeing him and him standing there. Maybe tears trickling out of his eyes and he's just thanking God. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. The work is going on. That's a real man of God's heart. Oh God, the work is not dead. No doubt Satan telling there ain't going to be nobody there. When you get there to Rome, there won't be one believer. There won't be one show up. You know, they come out of the bushes. This one come from the API Forum. This one come from the Three Taverns. And this one come from another place. Where are you from? Where are you from? Oh, I was 110 miles away from here. But I heard you was coming. I had to come to the meeting. And after all, I knew you'd be walking back, so I thought I might get a chance to shake your hand and walk with you back to the state of Rome. I'll only take 5 minutes of your time, which message people believe means 2.5 hours. But anyway, I want my 5 minutes to be able to walk with you back up. Oh, Brother Paul, I read that letter from Romans, and then we had someone come through tell us about the book of Corinthians, and I loved it so much. I was in such sin. I was one of them people that was in such darkness. And when God anointed you to write that, it just liberated me. It set me free. Paul said, Oh, thank God. He not only thanked God, but they encouraged him. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Now, these are towns. The APR Forum was 150 miles from Rome. The Three Taverns was 33. 150 miles from Rome. And some of these brethren came beyond this, all the way from Rome. Now Paul is plumb down here at the bottom of the boot when he lands at Puteoli. And some of these brethren come all the way from the Three Taverns and from the API Forum, which is 150 miles from Rome. You imagine how far they must have walked. Oh my, you're talking about some dedication. Well, you know what? I think about some of the saints that drive up here to church on Sunday. How many churches you figure they pass on their way here? How many churches you figure Brother C. Bright and his wife pass on their way from down in near Knoxville? How many churches do you figure some of these people from Georgia and wherever more? How many churches do they pass on their way? And people say, where y'all go to church? And you say, well, Johnson City. Really? What in the world? How many churches you figure Brother Eddie and Sister Susie pass from Alabama whenever they come up here to church? Come on, saints. How many do you pass living down the road and say, well, all churches are the same? Not the way we look at it, they ain't. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Me and Carol was in a place in North Carolina last year when I preached a meeting. And we ate stopped at this place and the sign there said, voted best barbecue in all of North Carolina. And I said, boy, we got to stop there at least one day, Carol. We went in there and stood in line. The place was packed out. We ordered it to go and eat it in the vehicle. And I told her, I'm not sure who done the voting, but it wasn't anybody that had very good taste buds. I said, them people would eat theirself to death if they ever had any good barbecue. So that's the way it is. There's we've got the best church in Johnson City. And you go there and the first service made you sick as a horse. Second service made you even worse. Third service, and you say, I'm not sure who voted this, but it wasn't me. They sure didn't have good taste buds. I'll tell you, friend, after you sit at the table with the king and you eat delicacies of his word and you go try to feast on some of this stuff out here and make you sick to your stomach. It's worth the drive. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the effort. Amen. Oh. Brother Terry had encouraged him. You mean Paul needed encouragement? How many needs encouragement? I'd get my other leg up here if I could. Hallelujah. From thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as the API Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God. He thanked God and took courage. The presence and counsel of Christian brethren, what it can do to us. It makes no difference if you hold the highest office in the body or the lowest. We all need this from one another. Praise the Lord. Every now and then I get to feeling a little bit burdened for Brother Jim Babb, because he takes so much of the load off of me, stands between me and the public and a lot of different things and issues. And every now and then the Lord will burden me with a little something, and I'll send him a little text. I sent him one not long ago and told him, I want to be standing there that day whenever the Lord hands out rewards. I want to be standing near and watch as you and Sister Linda walk up and the Lord hands out your reward. I want to be standing there shouting and screaming and hollering with you for what you do for God's people and what you do for me. Let me tell you, friends, you don't have a clue what a lot of these folks do. You don't have a clue what a lot of these deacons do, and a lot of these people, these Sunday school teachers, and these people with the music and all this. You think all these songs just happen, they just fall together. Much of the time it takes so much practice. Oh my, to do it. Amen. You're talking about a time when we stand there before the Lord and people receive their reward. Yeah, but you know what? I think we ought to give them a little rosebud every now and then while we're going that way. How many of you people, if something goes wrong with this sound system, a buzz or a roar or a buzz roar or a roar buzz, and you'll turn around and crank your eyes at whoever's sitting back there in that booth? What's the matter with you? And how many services would it work perfectly fine, and you'll never walk by and thank them? If one of the musicians hit a wrong note, you know, my, what in the world's wrong with Brother Larry? But how many does he hit notes that's right every time, and you never walk up to him and say, thank you for sacrificing. Thank you, Brother Harry. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, deacons. Thank all of you that make it. Look, it's not just the preacher that makes the church what it is. There's so many more. Oh, my, I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. There's so many more, and we can be such an encouragement and a help to one another. Oh, Brother Donnie, that's carnal. Is it? Really? I'm sorry you didn't read this quote that I'm fixing to read. Perfect faith. Brother Raymond says, how many of you will be waiting over till in the morning? You've got a long distance to go. And I appreciate that effort. Some of you will drive home tonight because you've got to go to work by daylight in the morning. And I know it's hard. And when I think and see that, I get spells too, you know. I get moody. Brother Branham got moody. Brother Branham had spells. They weren't all Holy Ghost spells either. Oh, I know. I'm not supposed to preach that. Brother Donnie, you tear me all to pieces. You make Brother Branham a man. No, you're wrong. God did. I get spells too, you know. I get moody and I get to a spot where what gets me is why I get to those spells when I get all overworked. And Satan comes telling me, nobody cares for you. You really haven't got a friend in the world. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something. If the devil didn't know that there was an element of this that would bother the prophet of God, he would have never told him that. if it had been a big old lie that was so unbelievable, you think the devil would have wasted his time telling that? There was something about Brother Branham's makeup and his gift and his call and all that that made this believable to Brother Branham. Brother Donnie, would you dare say that? I would. I'm not flushed in the face. I'm not dying of a heart attack. This is what he said. You really haven't got a friend in the world. Remember, I'm not immune to the temptation. See, I got to overcome that. Dear Lord, have mercy. Brother Branham had to overcome? You better believe he did. Now listen what he's going to use to overcome it. Then when I look back and see something like this, with you all staying over and some of you going to drive all night long and work tomorrow and all that, when I see something like this, I put it right back in his face and say, what about that? That helps me to overcome. What? I thought we overcome by the word. Duh. When you are living the word and sacrificing and coming to the house of God and putting forth your effort in doing your part, that's the word made flesh. It's no longer just a quote, John 3:16 and Malachi 4:5. It's no longer it's a quote. Then you take that living oracle. Don't you see why? That Satan tries to use those things against the preacher and the ministry to discourage them so greatly. But yet at the same time, the written epistles are some of the greatest encouragement any man of God can ever have. Not only the preacher, but the singers and the musicians and the deacons and on and on and on and on and one another. You imagine the prophet of God would take something like that when Satan would come and say, you ain't got a friend in the world. Say, wait a minute. Then people stayed over the other night. They're going to have to drive all night long. What chapter and verse is that? What quote was Brother Brown quoting? Like we quote the quotes. What quote was he quoting? He's quoting the quotes made flesh. And the words made flesh. What? Their actions. You already think I'm crazy? I'm going to go ahead and finish it off for you. I don't only quote the devil the scripture. I don't only quote him the quotes. But you know what I quote him sometimes? Your actions. When he tells me I'm wasting my time and I'm getting old and I might as well just retire and might as well quit preaching, I'll throw some of your statements right back in his face. I throw your actions right back in his face. I throw your behavior. Say, look here, devil, look at that. This person was bound with so-and-so, and God set him free. Look at this person here, how they sent me that text or that email. God said, done this and that and the other. You know what it is? I'm quoting the word made flesh from Happy Valley. I hope you understand that. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We made it to Petuli. Praise God. Oh my. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Once again, God's grace. Now, would you see grace in that? Maybe God has suffered you to dwell alone, attached to a heathen soldier. Lord, children, I wish you could see yourself tonight. That's you. That's me, Brother Skip. We're not like the rest of the world. We're not out there like them. But I'm still attached to this old boy. I've not found one scripture. I've not found one speck of recorded history where this old boy was ever converted. He was ever saved or ever changed. But the difference between that Roman and this Kentuckian is that my Paul is going to lead this one to a body change. I make him pray when he don't want to. I make him forgive when he don't want to. I make him go to church. I make him praise. I make him worship. We're all chained up. And one morning, he'll be so glad if he could, he'd hug me. Praise be to God. Don't you love him, children? Don't you love the Lord? Oh, maybe you're going through your Rockledon tonight, or maybe you've landed and your ship is so battered and torn. Or maybe God has let you come through a great, great, great trial and storm. It's the 1st of February, as it were. The south wind has now gently started blowing. And you're heading from Syracuse. You go out a few miles from the coast. The southern wind starts blowing your ship. Catches the mainsail. The sailors come down. They catch the side sails and all. They want to be able to full mast. So they come, and here comes this gentle southerly breeze. Sort of like the queen says, the Shulamite. O north wind, come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. And you make your little journey. Not very far. First mile, first day, you go 70 miles. Next day, it's picked up a little bit. You go a little bit farther, 120 miles. Pleasant day, nice day. Real, real pleasant. Till finally, you arrive. The elements himself encouraged you. The lack of the boisterous waves encouraged you. Till you landed in Patuli. And once you got in Patuli, what did you see? Not God in the sun, not God in the wind, but God in his church. And you entered into a new encouragement. Do sunny days have that effect on you all naturally? Y'all just get out and say, this is the most beautiful cloudy day I've ever seen. This is beautiful. What did you take? Send me a text. I need some of that stuff sometimes. Does clouds do that to y'all? Y'all just get up and say, ugh. And you got to say, this is the most beautiful day. And most generally, it means it's clear and sunny. Right? Oh, it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful today. And what does that do? It lifts our spirits. The sunshine does. What do we see? God in his nature. But when Paul sees God in his body, Scripture doesn't say thank God for the wind. No doubt he did. Luke never said that he praised God. He was encouraged because the seas was calm. But what encouraged him was when he saw the message of the hour made manifest in the halt, the cripple, the maimed, the poor. And they walked all that way, ox cart, donkey, whatever more. When Paul saw him, where are you from? I'm from up north, there, just right outside of Rome. How did you get here? I walked. I couldn't stand it though. I had to see you, my brother. Oh, I'm so honored. I'm from right outside Rome. I live right from the three fountains there. I've right run the Appian Way. Paul said, oh God, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. And the saints saying, oh God, thank you. Oh God, thank you. And yet they're looking at him with a chain on his hand. Chained to a Roman guard. You imagine, he says, grab his hand, some of them reach over, brother, down there, look at that, and say, poor brother. That thing's rubbed a raw spot on his hand. So, oh, I'd love to take that off. I wish you could be free from that, brother. Did the chain hinder him? Paul said in another place, actually, my bonds have encouraged some of the other brothers. How would you all like it if Brother Branham would have been locked up? Would you have been okay with that? People ain't okay with a man who can't even point a finger at his life. They have to fabricate stuff on him. But the real seed of God, you can't hide the truth from them. No matter what stumbling blocks is there before them, they look beyond every one of them and they see that true word. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Praise God.
Lord Jesus, no matter where we are tonight in our journey, each of us acknowledge we need your help. Maybe some, Lord, are 20 fathoms out from Malta. The winds are howling. Their ship is having to be unloaded with the tackling and the laden. They're having to do everything they can just to barely stay afloat. And they don't feel like they're going to make it another day. There may be others, they've landed on shore. It was a tabletop, a door, three or four planks off of the ship. They finally made it. They made it alive, and they're just laying there breathing and panting for breath. Others have been on shore now for a month and a half or so. They're getting refreshed, strengthened. Others have left Malta, headed towards Syracuse. Others have arrived at Patuli. We're not all on the same stage or at the same place. But wherever we are in our journey, we all acknowledge we need you. And I hope tonight, by your help, we acknowledge we need one another. Help us to see when Satan goes to isolating us from the body. That's exactly what he wants us to do. Lord, watching animals and being a hunter and also watching them as they hunt. The lions, the jackals, the dogs, the wild dogs of Africa. They'll go to watching the wildebeest or the impala or whatever more that they go to tracking and going to make a kill. They'll watch the herd. The wolves will do the same thing in Yellowstone when they go to looking for elk or the buffalo. They want to get them to moving, get them to get scared. Then they'll concentrate and see which one's the weakest, which one's limping, or separate that one, if it's a calf or one that's sick. And their moves will almost always be the same. The caribou in the Northlands are hunted the same way. They'll separate it from the herd. They'll get this one off by itself. And once they pull away from the main body, their chances of survival are very slim. And they run them and run them and run them until they lose their wind or they stumble and fall. And then they kill them. Help us to see it's the enemy that does that to us, to run us away from church, run us away from the body. And then he'll get after us and run us and run us and run us until we ain't got no more strength left. And then we just give up. Lord, I pray you would help us. Help us to see we need one another, especially as these days approach. Lord, it's so heartbreaking. We just seen, Lord, what the hurricane has done down through Florida and down through Texas and the damage and the devastation. And it's amazing how that states and counties and even different races can come together in the time of calamity, and they're able to lay aside somewhat their differences for a spell and come together and rally around the hurting. But it won't be long, we know it. They'll make their divides again, and the left will pull over and the right will pull over, and Lord, the races will divide, and they'll forget that little moment of unity that they had, and they'll start fussing and fighting again. Lord Jesus, how we long for a kingdom where there'll be no more arguing, no more fussing, no more fighting. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Oh God, minister to your children, Lord. I heard about the services, Lord, that you give the church here while I was gone. I'm so grateful. So many people getting healed Sunday, and Lord, folks have been ministered to. We're so grateful. But Lord, here we come again tonight with different needs. Lord, maybe it's a healing in our spirit tonight, not just so much our body. A refreshing as we leave Malta. Oh God, help us, I pray, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. How many has a need tonight in your walk with the Lord? Maybe it's your body. Maybe it's your spirit. Maybe you need to be refreshed. Maybe you just need that presence of the Lord to come. Amen. Amen. Would you lay your hands on one another? Praise God. Praise God. Amen, Lord Jesus. Sing that song for us, Harry. I'm gonna make it. Oh, Heavenly Fathers, we pray for one another. May the Spirit of God, I pray, minister to the needs of your people. You know what they're facing, Lord, in their homes, and their families, on their jobs. Lord, we deal with the people from Malta. We deal with the people from Syracuse, from the people of Melita. We deal with the Romans from Rome. We deal with them, Lord, from every quarter of the earth. But oh, how we long for the brothers. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, may you minister to us tonight, Father God. As brothers and sisters have their hands one upon the other, may the presence of God minister to your children. Lord, several needs in our church, Lord. Brother Jerry Phillips, father, having need in his body. Lord, Brother Daniel Nunley having his shoulder replaced and having some difficulty with it. Lord, we pray for our brother tonight. Lord, Brother Randy Walton losing his mother. We pray for him and his family. Lord, to others that I may not be aware of, Lord, with needs in their body. Lord Jesus, Brother Taz taking treatment. Heavenly Father, we're just asking you, oh Jesus, Brother Warren, Lord God, may you minister to the needs of your people, Father. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, God. No matter what we face or what we're dealing with, we can have this testimony. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through this cancer. I'm going to make it through these treatments. I'm going to make it through this hard time in my life. I'm going to make it through your Rockledon. The south wind will blow again. The gentle seas will arrive. The calm winds will blow me to my destiny. Hallelujah! Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Everybody now praise God with all your heart.
greatest storms in Paul's life, in the deep for 14 days and nights. But let's just imagine. They're coming up the Aegean Sea. Euroclydon doesn't show up. So instead of being pushed eastward toward Melita, they stay on the northern pass because the winds are favorable. They skip Melita. They skip Syracuse. They skip Rhegium. They skip all these places. And they land straight in Puteoli. But God had a church ordained to be founded by who? The Apostle Paul. In Malta. Saints to be ministered to in Syracuse. Saints to be ministered to in Rhegium. So this delay was a delay with a divine purpose. Who's to know your sickness and your body and your affliction and the trial you're going through, that you might be on a delay with a divine purpose to witness to somebody in the ER that God is still a healer. You might be able to witness to somebody that's ministering to you chemotherapy or some kind of shot or whatever more. So God, you ain't in this. No, don't say that. Don't say that. That may be God leading you through Melita or allowing you to go through Rhegium or Syracuse, because somebody there needs to know that God's still a healer. Does it mean they're bride? It don't mean they're bride at all. But God still can be able to use a bride member to encourage a foolish virgin. Who greater could you use to be able to encourage a foolish virgin than somebody full of the Holy Ghost? A bride member. Don't just try to pick out, well, are they bride? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. First of all, you don't know. You ain't eeny, meeny, miny, mo, because you don't know. God gives you a word to say to somebody, some bob-haired, painted face Jezebel, say it. It might be that word that'll encourage her and lift her up. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Children, we're going to make it. Well, because we feel it? Because he said we would. Paul, you're going to Rome. He didn't tell him how, but he's going to Rome. You ain't going to Rome. You're going to heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Let's sing it together again. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend. Amen. Let's sing it as we go. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I will. Oh, I'm gonna keep on trusting that he's working. Rhegium, Melita, Syracuse, to my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view.
On
working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my